Car accidents are no longer referred to as such by road safety practitioners, but as preventable incidents. Statistics provide information of when, where, and why crashes occur. So how do statisticians make sense of all the data that they need to analyze? Andy Graham.
It's all about not necessarily looking at the patterns, but discovering variances and deviations from the pattern. So that's what statisticians look for in terms of identifying things in the data. So we look for things which give us an indication of overrepresentation of particular groups. Say, for example, young people, something like that. We can quantify how much different they are, how much more overrepresented, what their increased risk is. But then we can also look at what makes them different from other groups. And once you know what's different about that particular group, then you can start identifying, creating, implementing countermeasures which might address the characteristics. So, for example, young people, they're overrepresented. Young people have a propensity to take risks, e.g. speeding. There's an obvious intervention there to target young people with speeding interventions and get the messages pitched at their level. So that's what we do as statisticians, to sift through the data, identify the interesting characteristics, potential countermeasures, and of course, evaluate the effectiveness of measures. Most of the crash data comes from our police reporting. That information is sent to us electronically. We add some information from the Health Department, Division of Analytical Laboratories, which has alcohol information for controllers and other people killed or seriously injured. Some geographic information is coded. We code the Australian map grid reference data, locations, longitude and latitude coordinates for the crash data so we can plot it on electronic maps and things like that. We then do cross-checks of the data, so we ensure that if the casualties are described as a driver age 40, but there's no traffic unit controllers described as being age 40, then we start doing queries and say, what's the difference in this information? You know, where's the anomaly here? So we do those sort of things with the data. And at the end of it, we've got a record of something like 150 variables with crash information, the location stuff, time, date, type of location, road surface conditions, weather, vehicle information or traffic unit information, what sort of traffic unit, what was the age of the driver, what were they doing, what manoeuvres, what errors did they make, and casualties from the crash, if there are casualties from the crash. And they'll have information, age, gender, etc., as well as class of road user and so on. It's quite a comprehensive data record, and there's a lot of work that goes into each one of them. Each year there are about 45,000 crashes entered into the system. That's obviously a huge undertaking by the New South Wales Police and the RTA, but it gives us the information we need to do our work. Of the 45,000 crashes, most of them actually occur in highly congested metro areas of Sydney, Newcastle and Wollongong. Fatal crashes, they're a different story. Around two-thirds of all the state's fatal crashes occur on country roads. It's a bit of a problem for the country people because they only have one-third of the New South Wales population. So they have a disproportionate amount of road trauma in their community.
Are those crashes mainly caused by country drivers or are they city drivers on country roads that have these crashes?
The fallacy is, according to country residents, is that city drivers don't know how to drive country roads. Well, to some extent that might be true, but the reality is in the stats that most crashes in the country areas involve country drivers. So it's totally wrong to blame the city folk. It's actually country people that are crashing on country roads, and they're usually the ones that are taking the most high-risk behaviours.